Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
And we're podcasting. It's the crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now in Five Points. Chris Brame from the home team, David Johnston from the morning show. You stir that all up and you get the crossover podcast. Episode 108. It is the off week for Georgia before the annual trip down to Jacksonville to take on the Gators in the cocktail party. Georgia got right last Saturday night. Well, they did win the game.
Or
some
did
might,
they?
Some might debate whether or not Georgia got right, but Georgia did beat Kentucky for, a 10th straight time, right? 09 was the last
That's right.
The Cats beat Georgia. So 21-0 victory. We'll touch on that a little bit. And the some strange times, too, over in Capital City with the Falcons at, and I think just about everyone on the planet is like, wait a second, the Falcons haven't fired Dan Quinn yet?
So he's still the coach?
They have not, but they play Seattle Sunday, and then they don't play that next week. So you would think if there was going to be an in-season firing that it would come Sunday afternoon after Atlanta loses its sixth consecutive game to fall to 1-7 on the year to the Seattle Seahawks.
There's a big game coming up in the SEC East on November 2nd. You might be thinking, wait, is he talking about the game down in Jacksonville? No, I'm not. Well, that one obviously is a big game, but South Carolina plays Vandy that day, so what's the significance of South Carolina and Vanderbilt?
Well, currently Georgia has tied South Carolina for the longest win streak by one East team over another 10 straight.
Yes.
So South Carolina's beaten Vandy 10 straight.
They're trying to make it 11 in a row.
Yeah. The Gamecocks are going to be coming off a big game against Tennessee, and Vandy's off this week.
That's right.
So Vandy's going to have rest, and that Derek Mason sure was fired up after they beat Missouri last Saturday.
That's homecoming, too, for South Carolina. So Vandy probably will be incensed that they're the homecoming opponent, right?
Yeah, well,
that's never happened
before.
No,
they're not used to that, so that probably will fire them up. So I guess the big question to start with, though, is Georgia wins the game, which is the most important thing over Kentucky. And, hey, they even win the game by three touchdowns. So it's, hey, look, Georgia blew out another SEC East opponent. Now, how much better do we feel sitting here now than we did a week ago with Florida on deck now and Georgia's chances of making it three straight over the Gators in Jacksonville?
Well, I tell you this, maybe the confidence level's not what it was this summer or something like that. Certainly, Florida has had a very, very good season. Their only loss on the road a couple of weeks ago at LSU, but and this is a chance for both teams to get healthier, both teams to work on some stuff that they need to get right. I mean, on paper, defensively, Georgia has looked very, very good. Offensively, they haven't looked so great. Florida, they've given up a lot of points in some games in LA. I know they've – it's weird. Florida's pitched three shutouts and had a game where they gave up a field goal. So in four of their games, they've given up 3 points. But – they gave up 21 to Kentucky. They gave up 42 to LSU and 27 in the game this past weekend against South Carolina, and that was a weird one in itself. So, you know, what is there to take away from that?
Yeah, I think Florida's defensive numbers definitely got dinged up by facing LSU.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, Kirby did – he pointed out – I guess somebody asked him a couple days ago about how he feels about his defense, and he was like, listen, I think they definitely have a lot better that they can get. And I think the perspective of Georgia's defense is the last three games we faced a freshman making his first career start, faced what ended up after Helinski's injury, ended up for most of the second half playing basically South Carolina's third-string quarterback. And this past weekend, that defense faced a wide receiver playing quarterback. So – you know, the Gators defense has faced the guy that right now would win the Heisman Trophy, Joe Burrow, in an LSU offense that just looked unstoppable. Our defense has certainly not been tested, and you would think that even with the numbers and as good as they look for Georgia, that over the next month we're going to have to find a way to score more than just the low 20s in some of these games to be able to win them.
Yeah, and, you know, not counting Murray State or Arkansas State, because I can't actually remember, but other than Notre Dame's Ian Book, Georgia hasn't really seen anyone starting quarterback yet.
No.
That's kind of crazy that it's worked out that way.
No, and Georgia, you know, Georgia did a good job on Notre Dame and Book.
Yeah.
In fact, one touchdown they had was, it took them all four downs,
right,
and it was after the muffed punt from the three-yard line.
Yeah, it was a short, very, very short field. But, and, you know, looking at Florida, Georgia's going to see the guy that's not supposed to have been the starting quarterback.
Yeah, technically another backup quarterback.
Yeah, but I think we can go ahead and say Trask is the starting quarterback now. But yeah, it's been kind of weird. Georgia's been kind of lucky in that sense. And you know, the month of October was supposed to be a breeze. You know, a big favorite over Tennessee, a big favorite over South Carolina, and a big favorite over Kentucky. And October didn't quite go the way everybody thought it would for Georgia. And the offense, I mean, we can talk about a noon start. We can talk about the rain. We can talk about whatever else we want to talk about. The play calling. You know, whatever you want to focus in on that you feel is the problem, you may not be completely wrong. You know, there may not be one right answer. And I know you can say, hey, Georgia lost a lot of guys from last year, which I get too. All of this put together, we're seeing what we're seeing on offense.
True. I mean, like, those guys didn't leave like a couple
right.
weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, the noon and the weather, like, Florida dealt with both of those simultaneously last week. They played at noon and in the same rain we did.
Yeah, but they were on the road.
They were on the road.
That's
They managed to throw four touchdown passes.
Yeah, it was noon, but it's different.
It's different when you're on the road at noon.
Yeah,
that's right.
An advantage.
That negatively impacts the home team. Hey, and it turned out that it did, but, you know, nevertheless, it was – I know Georgia did what it needed to do to win that game, and in the end they won, and that's what matters. But, you know, if the idea is, like, the strategy was to never run a play in Kentucky territory until they muffed a punt, like, I don't know if that was a real work of cunning.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And, you know, one thing that we've seen with Georgia's defense, and the defense has been fantastic. I know Kirby would like to see more havoc, more takeaways as far as the plus minus and the turnovers, because I think for the season now, Georgia is a plus one. If you took the South Carolina game out, they'd be better than that,
yeah.
Obviously. That had kind of evened things out. But in the, I guess Murray State did it, Tennessee did it, South Carolina did it, where they had that one long kind of broken play, kind of long pass play, and you can get away with it against those teams. But if someone else does it that can also get other things going offensively, that's the kind of play that can get you beat for an entire game.
Yeah, Florida pretty much won the game against Auburn on two explosive plays.
Yeah.
They had a long pass at the beginning and then put the game away with that long run at the
you mean the 40-yard holding penalty that wasn't called?
Well, that, and they also had that pick against by the way, like, but just a few minutes before we started recording this, I saw Greg Sankey put out this long statement about the officiating in the SEC, and basically the statement is pretty much like, people make mistakes, like, deal with it, was essentially like what he said there. And I'm like, this is why we love football, because it's like, mistakes are made.
By the way, that's a terrible answer.
It's horrendous.
Horrendous.
And he went on to say, like, you know, our guys are evaluated, but we don't tell you on a week-by-week basis, like, if guys are getting demoted and what happens. And basically, like, we do things to evaluate our officials, but we're not going to be transparent about what we're doing with them. Just accept that they're humans and they make mistakes, and we all love the games because of it. Because, hey, the players and coaches make mistakes, too. It was long. I'm going to save you the trouble of reading it, because I just told
I appreciate
what it
that.
Said.
Yes. I'm literally just finding out this myself. I didn't know about it. But just what you told me, that's
it's
horrible.
Awful.
That's a terrible answer.
Yeah. And it does come in the wake of, like, because South Carolina did get hosed by.
They got hosed horribly.
Yeah. By two terrible calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Two as egregious calls as you can almost think of.
Yeah. And then they compound the mistake by, they penalize Muschamp,
Yeah.
For for unsportsmanlike conduct. He walked 40 yards away from me and dropped the flag.
Did Coach Boom get any kind of a fine or anything, too, in this statement from Greg Sankey?
He didn't mention anyone specific, though, but I would guess that that's certainly the catalyst for why he put that statement out. But
interesting.
But I didn't listen. We still are haunted by 1-8-1-8 and the officiating in that game.
Like, yes, we are.
Yeah.
But people make mistakes.
Are bad. Yeah, that crew had before so bad they actually had been fired once.
That's right.
By the Big Ten, only to be somehow rehired to then work the biggest game of the year in 2017.
And I don't want the game to get to where you're having to check every single play on a replay. I mean, I don't want it to get that bad either, but it seems like there could be something else that could be done other than just sending a statement out and telling me to get over it.
Well, yeah, or even just like, well, why aren't some things reviewable?
Yeah.
Like, you could see a guy false start. Why couldn't you review that?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then
I can see the guy running down the sideline holding the other guy's jersey.
Yeah, or I can see this was clearly a pick.
Yeah.
He was not running around.
Exactly.
He just ran right. Yeah, I mean, you could see stuff like that.
I can also see all the books somebody's read all summer long, too, and for motivation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
well, yeah, with Sankey.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in fact, he started his press release with a quote from a book he had read.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that was the first slide was like in fact, it was from Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi wrote in his book and some quote or whatever, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to read a few more sentences of this, and I'm like, like, okay, so basically, like, hey, these guys are humans and they make mistakes. Isn't that why we love the game? Like, no, that's not why.
I'd
rather not see the officials decide the outcomes of
exactly.
these things.
Well, that's really too bad for South Carolina. And Ray Tanner's already, you know, his South Carolina people are kind of already on him anyway. Felt like that he didn't have Dawn Staley's back. Last year when she was kind of called out by Missouri.
Oh, yeah, because they were
credibility,
fighting.
Yeah, her credibility was threatened, and she had to basically lawyer up herself. And a lot of the people at South Carolina don't feel like she got the backing from her administration that she should have.
Yeah, because there were, like, accusations that South Carolina fans were throwing racial slurs at Missouri and stuff. Yeah,
it was ugly.
Well, South Carolina and Tennessee play this weekend, and – you got a 3-4 and a 2-5 going at it.
Yeah, so that's good. So, by the way, of the games this weekend, the South Carolina game, definitely interesting. I thought the Tennessee-Alabama game was interesting, especially since Mr. Garantano went rogue there at the end, and that got everybody talking.
Yeah, and then, of course, it led to a 100-yard fumble return for a touchdown.
Of course it did.
Now, two of the big story in the out of that one, but, of course, for Alabama, they just play Arkansas this week and then have a week off before LSU. So it all comes up Crimson Tide.
So, honestly, it's funny. So if Tua were playing, like Bama, last I checked, they were a 32-point favorite. If he were playing, would they be a 35, 36-point favorite?
I assume they probably would be close to 40. Like, I think
he meant that much?
I think he's probably worth about a touchdown to a spread.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because now, I mean, I think it's November 16th when Ohio State plays Rutgers. Is that line going to be 50 for a conference game?
If Vegas wants it to be.
Yeah,
it could be.
And I'm not even sure, like, as a degenerate, like how high they could make that number before I would actually take Rutgers in the points. Because I don't think I would take 50.
Well, they can't score, right?
No.
So 50 to nothing doesn't really sound that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Or sound like that big of a deal.
And Ohio State is just they've kind of got that feel to me of what we had in 2017, where you look at all these spots where, like, all right, like last Friday night at Northwestern, this will kind of be a sleepy spot for them. They've got Wisconsin on deck, but they just can't be stopped right now. They're covering all these games. They're putting up big numbers, and, you know, even this week, so Wisconsin's off this horrendous loss. They're going to Columbus. They're getting now, like, two touchdowns. You're like, all right, that's a good spot for Wisconsin, because Wisconsin does have a really good defense, and they've got a great running back in Jonathan Taylor, but I'm not looking to get in front of Ohio State right now. They're just bludgeoning everybody.
No, they look tremendous. They really do. I kind of don't like watching them because see that quarterback they've got.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good.
I'm trying to figure out is the college football playoff going to be a battle of the two quarterbacks who were backups in last year's SEC championship game? Or is it going to be like Joe Burrow, who had been at Ohio State, quarterbacking LSU now against Ohio State.
Against Ohio State.
It's going to be like something like that.
There's going to be some connection. I mean, you can't come up with a scenario where there's not some kind of a connection, essentially.
Not really, because you could have Oklahoma and Alabama, where obviously
Ohio State, LSU.
Yeah. Clemson's the only one where there's no real connection anywhere.
No. So. Yeah, that's, you know, unless it's, you know, Fields and Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, but
they were the top two.
Exactly. But other than that, it's not really anything.
I mean, I've already got them out anyway after that 1-point win over the Tar Heels.
So does Fabio have a chance to get to the playoff frame?
Well,
do he and his teammates have a chance?
Well, yeah, because they're going to go undefeated, so they'll be in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they had their scare, and now they seem to.
Well, UCF couldn't get in undefeated. So.
Well, that's what I. For
I know
me
that's what
personally,
comparison.
I'd kick them out. If you look at like Sagarin ratings and all these power ratings, the two divisions in the ACC are rated lower than the American Athletic Conference division that has like SMU and I think Memphis is in it. Navy.
The West.
Yeah.
The American West.
Yeah, that division is rated higher than both of the ACCs.
Okay.
So,
and just in case you're listening to us and you don't know your American divisions, that would be like Memphis, Houston, Tulane, SMU, Navy, Tulsa. Those are the six teams in the American West.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, I didn't know that. I've got a little cheat sheet here.
So the ACC is like, it's not any better right now than the American Athletic Conference.
No, that division sounds like it would definitely hang.
It would certainly over the Coastal.
It might over the SEC East. Maybe not. Say. I don't know.
Nah, let's not get too crazy. See, the thing about next week's game with Florida is my concern right now, and how, you know, kind of like low you feel about things, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose to Florida, aren't we? Or also what kind of gives me a lot of confidence next week too. It's just like, all right, Georgia's this team now. Everyone's going to be down on them, but it's like, if you can like pull yourself away from just being too close to the situation and realize like, no, Georgia's still really good. And Georgia's still going to be favored next week in that game too.
I did see where Florida actually though is ranked ahead of Georgia in that Vegas Insiders poll.
Oh, they're higher there?
They are higher there. I don't know if that means anything about the point spread or not.
Well, I was looking at a couple of, like I looked at Sagarin ratings.
Yeah.
He has them tied.
Okay.
SP Plus has Georgia, where Georgia on a neutral field, which, hey.
Hey, what is this?
Yeah, hey, the game's on it. Georgia would be a 6.5-point favorite. Like Georgia's fifth, Florida's 12th. I looked at Massey Peabody, Georgia's sixth, Florida's 11th. Their line would be 7 for Georgia on a neutral. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia was about a 6.5 or a 7-point favorite next week. But then you wonder if you do have to adjust for the idea of the perception of the two teams, which is probably a bit lower for Georgia and a bit higher for Florida, that might drive that number down to like 3 or 4. And if it is, then maybe you look at that and say like, hey, we got value on the dogs next Saturday in Jacksonville.
Well, you know, it's funny, jogging your memory or anyone's memory to last year, you got to go all the way back in the time machine to 2018. It was number 7 Georgia versus number 9 Florida. It's basically essentially what it is now, so it maybe flip-flopped a little bit.
Yeah,
so it wasn't that different.
Well, that's what I'm trying to remember, because I've seen a lot of, like, this will be the biggest game between the two since 2012. I'm like, well, wait a second. Wasn't last year's?
Yeah, last year Georgia was coming off the loss to LSU, and the only loss Florida had was to Kentucky.
Yeah, so I was like, last year's was potentially just
about
as significant.
The same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now you do have to go back to 2008 before that, when that both teams weren't ranked in the top 10. So it had been a decade. But, yeah, you got to go all the way back to last year for these two teams to have met, both ranked in the top 10.
Right. Well, we're barely holding on at number 10 exactly.
Exactly, yeah. But we are 9 in the coaches' poll.
Yeah, well, the coaches.
Because we always look at that.
The coaches know what they're doing.
Right.
All right, it's the Crossover Podcast. We're presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now in 5 Points. Chris Brehm, David Johnston with you. We will pause here for just a moment, and then we'll come back and we'll maybe take a look around at some of the games for this weekend, even though Georgia's off, and touch on, you know, what in the world is going on at Flowery Branch.
Ugh.
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
It's the Crossover Podcast, episode 108, here on 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Chris Brame, David Johnston, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now in Five Points. Subscribe to us on iTunes or listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. You do have a good, at noon you got Ohio State, Wisconsin. That leads you into 3:30 for LSU and Auburn. And then I guess Michigan, Notre Dame, I think is at 7:30. So you got a nice little spread this week where you could just go wire to wire and pick out a couple of games and just stick with that.
CBS has benefited from Notre Dame this year. Now this weekend, ABC's benefiting from Notre Dame. I guess I don't know if they've been a primetime game on Fox or anything. Obviously, NBC has the games, but it's funny how, hey, we got Notre Dame, we're putting them on primetime, says CBS and says ABC.
So the only network that hasn't benefited from them is the one that actually pays them a lot of money to show their games, NBC.
Pretty much, yes. I guess they had the USC game a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Other than that, they've had New Mexico.
Yep.
Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bowling Green or Kent or something.
It was
both
Bowling
of them?
Green, because it was Brian Van Gorder went back to South Bend and gave up, like, I think Ian Book set a Notre Dame record for touchdown passes.
Yeah, of course he did. And, yeah, they've got you're right. And they've got Virginia Tech, Navy, and Boston College at home the rest of the way.
So basically they've had New Mexico, Virginia, Bowling Green, and USC.
Yeah, for some reason, would that New Mexico game have been like on maybe CBS Sports Network, or was that on? NBC Sports Network, or it was on the Big Daddy.
I don't know. I assume it would have been on the Big Daddy.
Yeah, because that's tough to have on the Big Daddy there.
Yeah,
that was 66-14.
So even, I mean, was Bowling Green then on NBC too?
That one I'm pretty sure was. I think that one was on the NBC Sports Network.
I think.
I may be wrong about that.
Yeah, well, I didn't even bother to tune into that, so who knew?
Yeah, so I'm not positive.
Yeah, but you do have a good run. I guess Penn State and Michigan State play at night on Saturday, too, so Penn State's sitting there still.
They're 3:30.
Oh, they're at 3:30.
They're at 3:30 on ABC.
I'll pass on that, for I'll be watching LSU and Auburn.
I think most people will. You can catch Boston College and Clemson on the ACC network Saturday night.
I'll probably pass on that too. I watched the ACC network the night Tech played Clemson. Haven't seen it since. And I did watch the Longhorn network for the first time ever last Saturday to catch the end of that Kansas and Texas game.
That was a good finish.
It was a good finish.
Yeah.
Les Miles fired as offensive coordinator during the bye week, and then they come back and it's like, holy cow, Kansas offense cannot be stopped.
That was great.
Yeah. But Texas did pull it out. But I got to tell you, I don't think they're back. Not yet.
They don't look like it at all.
So quickly through the rest of the SEC, Missouri, who cannot win on the road, has to go on the road again this Saturday as they visit Kentucky. And then they'll be on the road for their next game, too, although they'll have a week off when they come to Athens. So, yeah, Missouri has lost at Wyoming, and they've lost at Vanderbilt, and then they're 5-0 at home. So we'll see if they can manage to win on the road. We talked about South Carolina and Tennessee. You know, I guess gave all that Alabama and Arkansas needs to be mentioned, and then you got A&M and Mississippi State, A&M and Mississippi State this weekend as Jimbo tries to go 2-0 against the Mississippis, which is something Kevin Sumlin could not do.
Which is why he's in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, so he's out. So there's your SEC lineup for the week. The Falcons play Seattle. And Dan Quinn is still the coach. The Falcons are a complete embarrassment at this point. They have one more win than the actively tanking Dolphins do. And that win that they have over the Eagles was they threw that like 50-yard pass on fourth down, Matt Ryan to Julio Jones, and that was how they beat Philadelphia on that Sunday night. Otherwise, they'd be winless too.
The teams generally come in west to east.
For a 1 o'clock
for kick. A 1 o'clock game, that's usually kind of a death knell for the West team.
Yeah.
After what I saw this past weekend, I'm not going to think that that's going to happen to Seattle either.
No, there's no reason to think the Falcons have any chance to win based on what we've seen from a team that hasn't had a sack since was the Colts game, the third game of the season.
Yeah.
I think it was in the third quarter of the third game of the season. Haven't had a sack since then. Matt Ryan probably isn't going to play, so they're going to have Matt Schaub. And Atlanta hasn't even shown up in the – they haven't looked prepared for any of these games anyway. So, and Seattle's coming off a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they're going to kind of be in more desperate mode than Atlanta's going to be. And it's just a matter of how long after the game is it going to be? Are we going to find out that Dan Quinn has been fired?
Well, here's what I was going to ask you, too. We were talking earlier about how much Tua affects the point spread for Alabama. I mean, it looks fishy to me that Seattle's only a 3.5-point favorite over the Falcons, because you would think, like, the Falcons, don't we all agree, they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at some of the point spreads in the league. Tomorrow night, the Vikings are favored by 16 over the Redskins. On Sunday, the Rams. Now, this is in London, but they're a 13-point favorite over the Bengals. The Saints are a 10-point favorite over the Cardinals. The Patriots are a 13-point favorite over the Browns. Monday night, the Steelers are a 14.5-point favorite over the Dolphins. I mean, would the Falcons, if they were playing at Seattle, I mean, how big of an underdog would they be? As bad as they are, and why are they only a 3.5-point underdog at home? Is the Seattle's not bad at all? I know they're coming off that loss to the Ravens, but I'm a little perplexed.
I guess maybe it's when you do look at Seattle. Four of their wins have been by a total of, I think, 8 points. They have 2 2-point wins. They have 2 1-point wins, and then they have like maybe a 3-point win.
They have 1-point win over the Bengals, a 2-point win over the Steelers. They have a 1 or a 2-point win over the Rams. They got a 4-point win over the Browns. And then, you know, in their two losses, they gave up 53 to the Saints and 30 to the Ravens.
Yeah, to Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there is, I guess, something to be said for that. You got to maybe cut a little deeper than the overall record.
Like, they're probably not as good as their record. They've been lucky.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time. I mean, how can anyone trust the Falcons showing up on Sunday, especially when it does feel like they're kind of in a lame duck situation with Quinn.
And Russell Wilson's had a really, really good year. I don't know about this past weekend so much, but still, you got to figure the Falcons can't stop anybody. They're not going to stop him.
No. Well, when they won that game in Cleveland, they were down like 21-6 or something, and then there were reports that basically the communication in his helmet went out, and he just started calling his own plays.
Backyard.
Yeah. And so, you know, keep in mind, their offensive coordinator is Brian Schottenheimer.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Shoddy coming back to Georgia this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he probably wouldn't mind. Doesn't really matter to him as much, but he knows there's going to be a lot of people in the stands that were cursing his name a few years ago. Wait a minute. I take that back. Being told there will be nobody in the stands.
No.
That was a horrible look this past weekend. And it's going to be the same this weekend.
Oh, it might even be worse because you figure there might have been a few people that showed up to watch Gurley.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Georgia fans.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, it might just even be worse.
Yeah, and in a game like what we saw with the Falcons, if they're playing a team from the North or the Northeast or the Midwest, those teams' fans are going to be at the game.
Yeah.
A lot of them live in Atlanta or they're going to come down to the game, but against like the Rams or the Seahawks or someone like, there's no fans there for them that's going to travel or going to basically be in Atlanta. So that's why you're going to have that horrible look like you had in the bins.
Yeah. It may be even worse.
Coming up, yeah.
Because now you got a combination of you're also one more loss now.
Hey, what's your thought to, the off week's coming up for the Falcons after this game, and you know, firing a coach in midseason, I mean, it's not going to, like, change your playoff fortunes or anything like that. But, and I'm not fire the coach guy normally, but in the instance where you just see the team looking like it does, no one's coming to the games, is it a way for Arthur Blank to say, look, we're going to fix this, or we're going to do what we can to fix this. We're going to go with, Dirk Cutter or Mike Mularkey as our head coach the rest of the way at the interim basis. But I want the fans to know that we're not happy with what's going on, and we're gonna fix this. I mean, wouldn't you at least think that they would try something like that?
Yeah, give fans a reason to think you might win a game this year. And I also just think, from the sake of, it's got to be a weird feeling over there with everybody knowing that the guy is going to get canned at some point.
Yeah.
So if you're Dan Quinn, you're all of his assistant coaches, and you have to know, like, I'm getting fired. It doesn't matter, and the players have to know it too. I don't understand why you just wouldn't break that tension and try and just go ahead and get it over with, because it's one of those spots where it's pretty much obvious to everyone what's going to happen. So it makes no sense that it hasn't yet. I mean, I'm with you. Ordinarily, I'm not, like, firing a guy's not going to – the Falcons aren't going to go win, like, 9 straight games and go 10-6 and make the playoffs.
Right.
But it's just it would be probably a relief to everyone if it just went ahead and got over with, because everyone has to feel that it's inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would think, too. I don't know. I can't watch them. They are unwatchable.
No, and what's terrible about it, too, is then it's when they're at home, that's the only game on at 1 o'clock.
That's, yeah, exactly. You have to watch them.
Yeah, you don't
have AT&T U-verse, so they're in a spat with the NFL, so there's no NFL network, and so that means no red zone.
Oh.
You know, I don't have the Sunday ticket or anything like that. So yeah, I don't have any other options.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find some site on my phone and stream the red zone network.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could do that.
Yeah, but then you're sitting there holding your phone anyway.
Yeah, it's also nice when the weather's nice, you can actually just let it go.
And yeah.
Go do something else.
Instead of just sweating over, like, your fantasy team or the fact that, hey, next time David Johnson's not going to play, maybe don't activate him or something and I won't start him.
Yeah, especially if it's even more – not that anyone wants to hear about anyone else's fantasy team, but there might be someone in this room that has David Johnson on their team. Or would there be two people in this
room?
There
are two people.
All right, there might be one person in this room that also has his backup.
I do not.
So, but I mean, what can you do? I mean, he had all the touchdowns and everything. So, the 2 weeks ago, there was someone in this room who had the highest amount of points in the league, and he was playing the person who scored the most. And this past weekend, there was someone who in this room that was on the receiving end of Aaron Rodgers' game. So, the 6 touchdown game. So, at least in those instances, you're just like, hey, what do you do? There's nothing you can do.
No, I hate, though, when you have the second highest point total.
And you lose.
And lose.
There's got to be – they should come up with a name for that.
Yeah, someone should figure that out, what that is.
There should be a name for that.
But that is the worst. And then you see, like – because then you realize, like, I'd have beaten everyone else this week except the one person I was matched up with.
It's the worst.
Yeah,
it's
I hate that. But then, yeah, last week, too, was just like, all right, well – so is David Johnson's here going to play? And then I'm just looking at the big zero he had the whole day. And then Chase Edmonds, 20-yard touchdown. Chase Edmonds, 20-yard touchdown.
Well, at least you didn't have to see that in your subs
column. Right, I didn't have them at all. But
I got to watch it in my subs column.
Yeah. That's in fact, one guy in our league renamed his team Points on the Bench, which is great because that's the other awful thing is when you look and like – oh, this guy had a career game. And then so the next week you want to play him, but you know, like, well,
yep.
I'm too late now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst.
All right. Well, everyone enjoy the off week. There are good games this weekend. You could just kick back and, you know, not stress or sweat anything with Georgia. We'll worry about the Gators next week. And I do like the fact that right now it feels like, oh, my God, we're going to lose to Florida. I actually think that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, too, but I don't have that, but I know we're not.
Oh, I don't
like
either.
I did last year.
I was trying to remember how I felt on August 24th watching Florida play Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Versus how I feel about the game now. It's not the same.
Well, before we go, would you rather play the Gators with Trask as the quarterback or Franks as the quarterback?
I think Franks.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But we're playing him with Trask.
Yeah, that's not an option.
All right. For David Johnston, I am Chris Brame. This has been episode 108 of the Crossover Podcast. Again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. The Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Athens and in Watkinsville.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.